Section 8 and 9 of bail jumping statute. Section 8 applies to misdemeanors. Section 9 applies to felonies.
I move to approve Section 8 and 9.
Oh, are we repealing the Rubicon statute?
Yes, this was.
It's restating.
Yeah. Just the same as on 9.
Section 8 and Section 9 are the misdemeanor and the felonies. And
right.
Aye.
All those in favor of approving Section 8 and 9 say aye.
Aye.
Carry.
Move it, sir.
What time tomorrow morning? We can get through by noon if we meet.
About
9:30 tomorrow.
About 9:30.
You, how about you folks going to court?
You coming back?
10's nicer, but 9:30 is fine too.
9:30? We'll adjourn till 9:30 sharp.
I'll get here somehow.
Mr. Chairman, we have some other statutes that we wanted to take another look at. Now, we can go back to those after a while if you want to, or...
You mean a way I'm asked you to...
I'm having two things that are being typed right now, but Roger does have, on one section, which section was it, six?
Six and seven, supplying contraband.
Supplying contraband. There was really mainly a matter of deletion of some of the words in that. If you want to talk about that section...
All right, let's do it.
Page 24. Page 24 under escape.
Because the question was brought up yesterday about whether or not we wanted to cover state hospital inmates and juvenile training school inmates. And now with respect to detention facility, Roger pointed out a while ago that because of our definition of detention facility, that includes inmates in state hospitals who are there as a result of a commitment, criminal commitment. And so the question would be then, what are, if we just covered as far as the inmates were concerned, inmates of a detention facility, or whether or not you still would feel that it would be necessary to include other inmates if in fact they were knowingly making or obtaining contraband.
Well, that was Bruce's point, right? Even if there are inmates under even a civil commitment, if they knowingly did this, they should come under it.
Unless they had a defense of complete
defense. Yes.
Why don't
you go ahead, Roger?
Well, we'll cover it.
If they want to take that approach, all we would have to do is delete reference to state hospital, because by using the term detention facility, we already have all those that are in state hospitals as a result of criminal commitment.
Which section?
That'd be subsection 2 of section 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. My other question would be whether we should include students in juvenile training schools within this group. In other words, make it a crime for a student in Gilchrist or McLaren to possess or make contraband. I understand that most of these things are governed by the internal rules and regulations of these.
They are in jails and prisons, though, too. I'm really not very sympathetic to the whole blooming thing.
I think everybody ought to be able to escape all the time.
Well, and we are liberal about that in Multnomah County.
You're glad Frost isn't here. He kept referring to Rocky Butte as a sieve over and over again.
More than a sieve.
They have all hands on me, like.
Well, I
sure... Just because it isn't illegal doesn't mean they're going to have it. There's certain implied powers when you give the guy the responsibility of running the jail.
Well, as a matter of fact,
because it is illegal doesn't mean they're not going to have it.
That's true.
But this budget, well, the models we use in New York Commission.
Well, what can you do to bring it in?
Wait a minute. Roger has a little statement.
Well, Michigan does not include inmates of any state institutions under their contraband criminal laws. New York does. So there is some states.
I think there are some cases where a criminal sanction would be a useful thing.
If I send a guy to state hospital because he's not able to assist, mm-hmm. or because he's been acquitted by reason of insanity, I don't think that we ought to let him run around with something dangerous in there.
Or maybe something.
He's different. He's a different breed of cat than the fellow that's just been civilly committed.
Yes, but as far as
Section 6, I can see 7.
As far as the institution is concerned, as far as the who you're trying to protect with this thing, who you're trying to do two or three things. One of the things you're trying to protect is the people who have to run the institution. And a guy with a knife doesn't seem to me, doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference what he got there for. He's just as dangerous with a knife as a guy, whether he's there because he got acquitted or because he's unable to assist in his defense or because his school teacher bugged him when he was in the first grade and he flipped his lid when he was 21. Doesn't make any difference to the people who are trying to, whose job it is to try to take care of.
I'm sympathetic to Lee's position. I see no utility in making it a criminal law violation for inmates in institutions to possess those things. They're going to possess them until the day hell freezes over. On the other hand, supplying is a different issue. And I do see some utility in having a law that they can say, okay, Buster, you're pinched, you just supplied something into this jail. I see utility in that. The other way around, I think it's just an exercise in,
Yeah, and I think you've got a good point, Don. I think for this reason that as far as the inmates are concerned, you do have some administrative control
sure
over these people, whereas the people on the outside, you don't.
Well,
I don't think there should be any work very well.
But on the other side, I don't see any reason. My point is, what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is make a motion to strike Section 6. I don't.
Will we table Johnson's motion?
No, wait a minute. I have a right to finish my opening remarks on my motion. Then you can
be another day.
It's one thing when you're talking about supplying dangerous contraband. Another thing when you're just talking about Don was talking about the other day, the sandwich, this type of thing. I think to treat that criminally is ridiculous. Well,
you've got to have two. Almost every crime, you've got two degrees of a crime, or two grades of a crime.
Yeah, but 6 relates
kill a guy
to any
one way
it's
murder, you kill him another way it's manslaughter.
In other words, if a wife tries to bring in some cookies for her husband, and the jailer's rule says you can't have any food at all. You're going to go out here and charge her with a crime?
Might very well.
You're probably going to prohibit her from
visiting. Particularly if she's got a self-destruct action.
No, he's got all kinds of remedies for that type of thing. It's not prohibited from seeing her husband. I just don't think that kind of conduct should be put in the criminal code. I think another thing when you're talking about a knife. And one thing I would like to know is it dangerous? Would that include the hacksaw? Would it?
Yeah.
What's dangerous about a hacksaw?
Well, safety or security. Can you delay my motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see.
Let's call for the question with Johnson's motion.
Well, what could be done, man? We could delete the definition of contraband, or change it. In other words, just delete the definition of dangerous contraband and define contraband as meaning what we have included as dangerous contraband under sub 3.
Yeah.
And then just have a one degree offense of supplying contraband, period.
You know, I suppose as much as anything else, what concerns me here is it's a part of the culture of a jail that you try to beat the jailers in certain ways. Like, a lot of them are very frivolous and don't do anybody any harm. If you're only supposed to have one package of cigarettes in your possession at all times, well, it's a big deal if you have two, you know. Well, that doesn't really cause any great problem or anything, but it's just that you're testing, and it's human nature to do that kind of thing.
All that happens is the guy gets out of the jail and says, jail wasn't so bad. I had those guys whipped all over.
Right. And I'm not
and
sure
so he doesn't mind going back again. So he got recidivism.
Yeah. I'm not.
And you've got
to
have a wholesome attitude.
Got a real wholesome attitude around the place.
I'm not sure there isn't a relief about things like this. For instance, if you prohibit cigarettes and they can beat you on cigarettes, they may not be trying to smuggle drugs or something, maybe. I'm not sure it doesn't work that way. But to make all these crimes, these guys already deal with criminality all the time and think the laws are a farce. So if they're continually, daily violating the law in jail, I think you have just that much less respect for the law, which everybody's doing in jail.
I don't know. You just said a moment ago that violating the rules and regulations has wholesome effects.
Well, in those limited areas, I think sometimes. Those aren't laws. I'm talking about laws.
Maybe I'll create a bunch of laws so the people in jail can violate them and then they'll feel better about it all.
No, then it becomes a habit pattern.
M-A-W-K-E-R-Y or M-O-C-K-E-R-Y?
Would you like to go on to the other side?
What happened to my motion?
It lost.
No.
What?
Wasn't voted. There was another motion. I don't think that he completed it. Something about tabling. And did I
pretty
serious detect?
About what you were saying, isn't it?
Did I detect yesterday that you felt that the chair was in error when he said that it didn't apply, that a motion to table did not apply to a motion?
No, I'm pretty. Did you vote on the motion to table?
No.
We're waiting for you to get back.
We hold on.
Do you want to?
No, I will stand on the merits, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnson's lousy motion.
Your motion was to delete Section 6 in its entirety.
Well, it seemed to me that maybe the.
We have to turn that down because Don's got a better idea.
Don's suggestion might be a.
Well, this would really be in line with your motion.
Yeah, well, what's your suggestion?
Well, my suggestion was to make one degree. Or just have one crime, say supplying contraband, and delete our definition of
plain old contraband.
Contraband as such, and redefine contraband as we have defined dangerous contraband.
And that takes sandwiches out of the case.
Yeah, and then that would just mean
contraband.
Then would mean items whose use would endanger the safety or security of the detention facility, juvenile training school, state hospital, or any person therein.
Want to restate your motion?
But would you work in the definition of sub one so that means any article which the person confined is prohibited from obtaining, so long as the article because dangerous contraband means contraband. You got to have some definition.
You could combine the two and get all those elements in.
Yeah.
In other words, make dangerous contraband any item, any article or thing which you're not supposed to have, which would endanger the security or safety.
Yeah, right.
Did you restate your
question? Yeah, I've so stated.
Question.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Johnson and Clark have done a good job this morning.
I'm having one shut up.
Now, then we had a further question on, Section 5. This section originally was called Facilitating Escape. And we tried to accomplish two things with these proposed amendments here. One, to get at the I think a very legitimate objection that Dave Frost brought up about the court order confinement, so that we don't take in the person who is criminally committed, and secondly, to get away from the use of the term escape. So I propose that we add a new definition to Section 1, which appears on one of your sheets there as sub 9, which would define unauthorized departure
mean the unauthorized departure of a person confined by court order in a juvenile training school or a state hospital that, because of the nature of the court order, is not a detention facility as defined in subsection 4 of this section. So it takes us out of the sub 4 that says applies to a state hospital only as a person detained therein charged with or convicted of a crime, etc.
So moved.
And then we would define section 5 as aiding an unauthorized departure rather than facilitating an escape.
But unauthorized departure is not a crime, is that correct?
Right. That's not a crime itself.
No.
But aiding it is a crime. Because we don't define a crime of unauthorized.
Somebody on the outside helps him.
Right.
No, it's just almost too bad you don't have a crime of unauthorized departure.
We got it. We call it escape.
That for dealing with like trustees who have 15 days to go and they'll walk off.
Well, we don't have those kind of people. Well, you mean in a state hospital?
We've got a county jail trustee, and he's now washing cars. He's got 15 days left to go. And for some reason, he walks off.
Well, we've got him covered, though.
Yeah, we don't like to charge him escape, though.
He's just trying to beat the system.
No, that's part of the game.
You know, I wish I'd never mentioned it. If I hadn't thrown it in the morning, I wouldn't.
Just like having an extra pack of cigarettes.
So you suggest we have this for a misdemeanor and then give him
I can see some utility in that. I know we've had people that, like MCCI, which is a totally open institution. And a guy has had, we actually had one who had 3 days left to go. Yeah, well, this is pretty sick.
Yeah, and the guy.
And he walks off.
And they do it probably because they get so nervous.
Look, this would be basically a Section 2 offense. No, it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It would be Section 3.
Section
3. Second degree.
Yeah, the trustee that walks off would be a second degree.
That isn't bad, Don. Not bad as first degree.
2 or 3 years. When we grade these,
well, I'm not going to vote for it. Nobody else thinks it's a problem. It is.
Well, I think
you give him a lot of time.
I think it's covered though, Bruce.
Where? We got a crime.
Section 3.
Can go either way.
Section 3 is escaping a second degree.
Maybe you ought to have a.
He uses to use physical force.
No.
If he escapes from the detention.
He escapes from the detention.
You could still let the guy cop.
Frank has got a point. He says that on the second degree, it could be misdemeanor or felony, and the judge could, with his discretion, say the guy who had 15 days to go, that, well, for the walking off 15 days to go, now you're going to have to go back and do 45 days.
What you could do.
And if that's the case, I think it's taken care of.
What you could do is amend Section 2 to provide that it applies if he escapes from a detention facility with only 15 days to go.
Well, that's too confining. I think it should be 15 to 20.
I'll move the amendments to Section 1 and 5.
You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
No. Carried. So that means we've adopted those two, haven't we?
You want to move the whole article?
Well, I have one more question on sections, which would be now Section 6, the contraband. I don't think we decided whether the language on sub 2, on whether we should delete state hospital and or juvenile training.
Well, I thought the motion was to limit it to the supply rather than
To delete section.
We left in Section 7 and took out Section 6.
Yeah, in effect,
all
yes.
Right. I wasn't back. I wasn't going
that to... That answers your question, Roger.
No, I'm not concerned about that. State hospital. He knowingly makes...
And so make one just the
so
one crime, no degrees.
And we leave Sub 2 the same.
Yeah. Do we have anything else on?
You want to move to adopt the article or what?
All right, make a motion so we'll be certain. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Carried. Don't anybody mention this escape article again.
Sure, I think it's dangerous business to let a bunch of defense attorneys write the criminal code of the state, though. It's
Well,
I have a tendency at times to agree with you.
Is Johnson the defense counsel?
Basically.
He's just plain old law order.
Clark, the philosophical utopian.
The reasonable defense would be the other way. The
reformer.
Clark bounces back and forth and he's
on the middle road that way.
Yeah.
Business fraud.
Mr. Chairman, this came out in subcommittee number one, and I'm unfortunately the chairman of that subcommittee isn't here today.
I don't see why that's unfortunate, because when we discuss these things, you never have said who the chairman was in before. It's always the subcommittee discussed this, the subcommittee had problems.
Our chairman really runs our subcommittee.
No, I wasn't trying to cast aspersions on any of the other subcommittees, Chairman. Just that there were a number of sections where we had some very close decisions in the subcommittee. In fact, there were a couple of sections that some of the members were almost violent about.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the members expressed their opposition in the words of the minute.
That's Milford's moderation.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is a rather lengthy article and has some aspects of bribery in it and that we felt didn't fit into our other bribery article. But mainly it deals with integrity of business records and that sort of thing. So Roger, you want to go ahead?
Section one, the definitions. Most of these definitions relate only specifically to one or two sections.
Let's go through them.
Go through the definitions?
Yes.
Sub 1, benefit, means gain or advantage to the beneficiary or to a third person pursuant to the desire or consent of the beneficiary. This is the definition that we've used in the bribery article.
Is desire equal intent? Is this an intentional crime we're talking about if we use the motion? Pursuant to the desire or consent of the beneficiary? Sorry.
We're doing pretty good for you
guys.
Yeah, I know.
I'll leave.
I'll have to see the rest of the statute as well.
All right, business records.
Any writing or article kept or maintained by an enterprise for the purpose of evidencing or reflecting its condition or activities. An enterprise means any private entity of one or more persons, corporate or otherwise, engaged in business, commercial, professional, charitable, political, industrial, or organized fraternal activity. Financial institution is a bank, an insurance company, a credit union, savings and loan association, investment trust, or other organization held out to the public as a place of deposit of funds or medium of savings or collective investment.
Wouldn't a corporation be an organization that allows immediate collective investment? Any corporation that offers its stock for sale to other than the incorporators and organizers?
It would be non-profit.
Why? Why would it have to be non-profit?
No, I said it couldn't be, but I would stop myself because you have a crowd of other investors.
Yeah, but I want to go sell back of Pete Gunner's condominium. Is that a collective? On a medium of collective investment?
I would think the stock is usually sold to the medium of the brokerage. So while the brokerage firm might be a financial institution, I don't think the corporation itself putting its stock.
That's
on
not
the
intention,
not,
is it?
No.
No, that's what we were trying to.
Now, where does the, you say a place of deposit of funds, medium of held out to the public as a place of collective investment. Is that the way that's supposed to read?
Yeah, as a place of one of the positive funds, or two, medium of savings, or three, a place of collective investment. Or medium of collective investment.
Doesn't a place of deposit of funds stand alone?
No, well, it's,
put some comment on that.
Yeah, Bob, any question?
What is collective investment?
Yes, I know.
That's common. Write it out.
Collective investment. money in the trust. Trust A and Trust B.
Mutual fund.
Yeah.
Well, all of those relate to other organization held out to the public as. In other words, it'd be an organization held out to the public as a place of collective investment.
Isn't Bob's point to any corporation as a place of collective investment?
We sold some stock in our company last year to our employees. What we were offering really was a collective investment in the company.
Well, you weren't...
they don't stand very strong.
You weren't, though, not a collective investment. You were soliciting individuals to invest in your corporation and buy that stock. Now, it turns out that when you consider them as a whole, it's a group, perhaps a collective group, but you're not soliciting a collective investment. You're soliciting individual.
But American Tell and Tell, on the other hand, in one sense, can be said to be holding out the public as a place of collective investment. Yeah.
If they solicit the funds of groups.
No, in a collective investment. The investment, the collective refers to the investment, not to the...
You mean any publicly held corporation?
What's the difference?
If
it includes corporations.
I don't know that it would.
It really doesn't harm the article.
Well, I'm not sure, and I've forgotten where we use the definition.
It relates to
falsification of business records.
Well, and accepting funds and failing financial institutions.
Well, we specifically provide that business records involve things like stock prospectuses and so forth.
Certainly, when you put an insurance company in here,
receiving deposits in a failing financial institution.
Why? Somebody answer that question. What the hell difference does it make?
Does what make?
Let's go back to
what difference make? What collective? What articles would be? Whether it includes an ordinary corporation that offers its stock to sale or not.
I think it's 11, section 11, is where it comes
to. Okay, let's. Pecuniary benefit.
This is the definition we used in the primary article. Any benefit in the form of money, property, commercial interest, or economic gain.
The definition of property is the same definition that we used in our theft article also.
Is there any really any difference between one and five?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say our economic gain is related to these crimes. Are you going to have any other kind of gain when you're talking about an economic gain?
Advantage. One contains advantage, which would not necessarily be pecuniary benefit.
Well, pecuniary benefit doesn't go to it.
No.
Yeah, it does too go to a third person because we pecuniary benefit is any benefit in the form of money, and benefit goes to third people.
Yeah, right. It incorporates benefit with that.
Well, I assume five is supposed to be more narrow than one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But as a matter of fact, is it more narrow than one? Because you say economic gain, turning all the crimes we're talking about here to involve anything else other than economic gain?
Well, I think
what five does is...
Does one include five?
Yes.
Sure.
So then why do we need five?
My point is one includes five, five includes one.
Yeah, on the other article.
We went through this.
No, but it's related to these crimes that he does.
Well, in some places you'll say if they just gain a benefit, it's a third degree crime. If they gain a pecuniary benefit, then it's a second degree crime.
Under these statutes, it can't be We're talking about business fraud.
Well, business fraud for the purpose of an identity.
You might get to be a membership of an organization, of a specialized group, or might get a doctor of jurisprudence degree or something.
You might be admitted to the Arlington Club.
Yeah. I'd be better off not to be there.
It was just equivalent. I thought I'd take it.
He succeeded admirably.
Chairman, I get I always forget what a chosen action is.
We've gone through that.
Premise say no.
Okay. Well, we say promissory note.
The reason that they're separately defined is because in one section, section 15, we use only the term benefit on obtaining execution of documents by deception, where some of the benefits that you could receive by obtaining certain documents would not necessarily be a pecuniary benefit. Fishing license. Yeah.
The fishing license is a chosen action.
No.
Right.
We've got to have a few little legal terms in here that you fellows aren't apt to.
What am I going to do when some little old lady comes up and says, you wrote about chosen action there. What do you mean about it?
Call it Senator Attorney.
Right.
Here's the attorney's phone number.
Sure, he uses his office number.
All right, let's go on section two, Roger, and explain that.
All these points keep being brought up. They're never resolved. We just move on. That's the way to get things.
Well, buying business records. Shows this is an action there. Yeah.
We define business records, subsection two of section one. And section two requires an intent to defraud. With an intent to defraud, he makes or causes a false entry in the business records of an enterprise. Enterprise is defined in subsection three of section one. Or alters, erases, obliterates, deletes, removes, or destroys a true entry in the business records of an enterprise. Or fails to make a true entry in the business records of an enterprise in violation of a known duty imposed upon him by law or by the nature of his position. Or prevents the making of a true entry or causes the omission thereof in the business records of an enterprise.
Does it make any difference whether the entry is a material one?
As long as it's with intent to defraud.
Intent to defraud. It applies to all four subsections.
Will we approve section two?
Do we have a similar statute now?
We don't have as comprehensive a statute. Now on page five, starting on the bottom of page five, there are some specific statutes on falsifying certain records, invoice, bill of lading, corporate records, savings and loan records.
Is a daily record of things that you do, a business record, a person employed by a bank, the board of directors says we want you to record every telephone number that you call during the day. The guy calls his girlfriend and he'd be a little embarrassed about putting that down, so he says he called another number, Jack Stouffer. Now that's with the intent to defraud, but
I don't think it's with the intent to defraud. You wouldn't receive that. You got to receive it.
Is there a definition of defraud?
Yes. No.
One is perjury.
It's certainly an intent to mislead.
It's an intent to mislead, but I don't think it's an intent to defraud.
This is when I have a little bit of question about it. These are using these evidentiary to prove another crime.
What did you say?
Essentially, what we're relating to here is the things that are normally evidentiary to prove another crime, right? That's one. Some form of fraud, one way or the other.
Well, not
necessarily. Yeah, here we don't. Is what you're saying that we don't have a guy get anything by doing this? He commits a crime without accomplishing anything.
Yeah, but the commentary makes it clear that that isn't.
What we're trying to do is the
prohibition is directed to conduct preliminary to the commission of a fraud, and it requires intent to defraud.
It's really, I guess it really does relate to the law of forgery.
Yeah, there's certainly a forgery elements in there someplace in many of these crimes, but I don't think you can separate the two by any means. But
what is really a false entry in the business records?
Billy Saul Estes said he had gave a receipt showing that he received and put up much fertilizer tanks. False.
There were no tanks.
Tanks didn't exist. The gal in the bank who shows a withdrawal from my savings account for $200 for a day to cover the fact that she was short of money and put $200 in her own account and land back me into withdrawal. One more.
I know what he's supposed to get at. Trying to figure out what money also get at. I think the commentary probably.
Attorneys linking books on who they charge their fees to.
And I think the model penal code commentary that's restated on page 5.
We lost it.
That's the left.
Points out the need for this kind of a statute.
Well, we've got to. I think any business records are used so widely in support of so many things of financing, the sale of equities, granting of credit to an organization by suppliers, willingness of employees to work for it and continue to work, so forth and so on.
Taxes,
all kinds of things.
Well, and also evidentiary value and,
you know, the
litigation.
The thing that bothers me, I'm just raising concerns on the other side of it is destroy a true decide to destroy your business record.
If you're destroying with intent to defraud, that's one thing. That's what we're. But you know, we go after the statute of limitations run on the tax business and so forth and so on. After 4 or 5 years after the statute's run, I mean, all of us throw away a bunch of junk out of the files.
The point is,
those all after 6 months or
yeah, if we didn't, good God, you know, we'd be in a day.
The point is, so you need a separate crime if the guy has been defrauded.
Well, here you
want
to get
them
before the
anybody
suffers.
Yeah.
It's
all right,
Lee.
Question.
I
shut up,
Lee.
I will be table.
I figure if I drag this along, we get to the things I'm really biting by. You gotta be tired enough. All right.
Is there any further discussion on section 2? I've heard the motion. Jim Denny. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Section 3.
Section 3 and 4 are both commercial bribery statutes, one giving and one receiving. Section 3, person commits a crime of commercial bribery if he offers, confers, or agrees to confer any pecuniary benefit upon an employee, agent, or fiduciary with the intent that the latter violate a duty of fidelity owed to his employer, principal, or beneficiary. And section 4 is the same, except that it covers the person taking commercial product.
If you're a purchasing agent, don't let the supplier buy
it. Well, you prove it.
First, I must say that
3 and 4.
This would certainly work some changes in the field of the American Society of Purchasing. I really wonder why
it should. It isn't aimed, of course, and wouldn't apply to the lunch. But what about the purchasing agent who's got his choice between Company A's paper and Company B's paper? And the guy said, "Look, if you buy our paper, I'll send you out a couple of cartons of paper towels for you to use your house."
And what is more likely is, upon choosing Company B's paper, next Christmas, a case of whiskey is on the doorstep.
That's right.
May have.
What is the duty of fidelity owed to his employer? Would you mind defining
good faith?
What?
Good faith.
Yeah, that's a good definition.
All right. How about the.
Thanks.
How about the case of. If he finds any difference of opinion with the employee.
Tanzer, I'll give you a bottle of whiskey if you'll tell me what everything that Johnson does today or where he goes. That'd be it.
Mm-hmm. How about proselyte?
Well, also, an insurance adjusting firm that have a little bit to do with selecting the attorneys to try the cases. Mm-hmm. It's going to be looking for free lunch every day and go from there down to, as they did in INA, you were mentioning yesterday, a hell of a lot of little advantages that they take and wind up with. And it doesn't matter who the hell is defending the lawsuits, as long as they get their booze and whatnot.
We had an example not too long ago where an adjuster in our community insisted that all repair work be done by a single shop in town, which was charging higher prices than the other place. It was pretty obvious that the guy was getting a kickback somewhere.
Do you think that if this statute had been in effect, he would have been successfully prosecuted?
No, I think if the insurance company had knowledge of it, that they would make it.
How about the union agent that is also an employee?
In other words, his principal.
I must say, Mr. Chairman, I'm not in favor of commercial bribery, but I'm not really so sure that this isn't sort of legislating, trying to legislate morality in the criminal law area.
I agree. Let me point out one thing. We just have discovered in Multnomah County that some people who serve civil process and so on and have cars still, the old constables, old civil deputies, have gone back to a system that was in evidence at one time, that they get bottles of booze, they get green stamps and so on, whatever, from tow companies. Okay, now, it seems to me that rather than have that be criminal, we ought to handle that administratively and build into our processes ways they can't do that. And if we don't do it, then we ought to be held politically responsible for that. But I'm not sure that we should prosecute all those people for...
All right. You say politically responsible. That's fine for the Multnomah County Court. But what about the... There's a flight operator at Hillsboro, Oregon that offers a corporation pilot green stamps with gas. You could pull in a company plane, pick up 1,000 gallons of gas, 45 cents a gallon, and the pilot walks off in the green stamps to buy a boat, fills up a dozen times. The pilot is gimmicking his employer, because if he went over to the next gas pump and said, I can get green stamps over there. The guy says, well, green stamps cost us 2/10 of a cent a gallon. I'll give your employer 2/10 of a cent a gallon off. The guy says, oh, I don't want the employer to have the 2/10 of a cent. I get it this way. So he taxis his airplane back across the other guy.
All right, what about me when I travel and use the car and I put gas in the car and I get green stamps? Should I turn those into the county?
Yeah.
Man.
You haven't been?
My God, I committed a crime yesterday, through today, you know.
Well, yeah, it's just a matter of degree. There's a Shell service station up there on the corner of, right by where Broadway takes off, that advertises gasoline for 31.9 cents a gallon. They'll write it on your credit card at 36 cents a gallon or something, give you cash for the difference.
There's
put it in your box.
A union station out near...
it's a modest.
There's a union station right out where the canyon.
And my wife even does it. My credit card, and she gets the difference.
Keeps track of the thing. And at the end of the year, delivers enough booze to make up for the 3 cents a gallon that they build your employer.
You know what? I'm afraid of this, that it creates an opportunity or a vehicle for anyone who's a little disgruntled to accuse someone else of. It just opens up floodgates or any type of a charge that one person wants to make against another employer.
I can charge up my employees in this day.
Well, you better straighten them out then.
Well, I have a remedy.
And there is a good remedy.
You have a remedy when you know it. And you know that if you're in charge of Clark, and you know Charlie Clark's going to put the green stamps in his pocket, and that new boat he got's a green stamp. What about the guy who... fills up the company truck every day on his routes around the thing, and he won't have any.
You've got other remedies against him.
Well, really, take the situation again. You talk about green stamps, if you ever talk about green stamps. case if this pilot you talk about that gets, you know, 1,000 gallons of gasoline, there's a lot of green stamps there. So he really gets those for the company, so he converts them to his own use, he's embezzling.
Yeah, but if that kind of a case came in and landed on your desk, would your face be wreathed in smiles?
No. If it involved
that's a nice shirt, so sleep there.
No, he wouldn't be
in front of you.
They claim that those green stamps are a pure gift to the person that receives them in his hand, and that the price of the gasoline is 45 cents a gallon.
How about the real estate agent who is going to sell my house and tells Tony's in my mind and he says, look, I think Johnson will take, he's asking 25, I think he'll take 20.
Correction of opinion.
Well, I really think we are trying to, there are adequate remedies to take care of the situation. It seems to me to put in the criminal field.
I don't think there are adequate. I think things are going on that aren't stopped.
Well, what about 165515 and 708715? We don't have these. What are those now?
Well, they're set out on page 9 of the commentary.
Page what?
9.
You see me illegal?
If we did away, if we don't accept these, what happens? Will we retain the receipt of the illegal compensation by bank and trust officers and bribery of telegraphic agents?
Well, certainly I think the one in Chapter 708 should be retained, and since it's located now outside of our criminal.
Where are those?
Page 9
of your draft. Mm. Your relationship to existing law.
Didn't you read these ahead of time, Mr. Johnson?
Read them. Can you tell us?
But the other one, bribery of telegraphic agents.
They write a special interest. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. This thing just makes that special interest thing about everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's worth keeping, as a special interest, then why shouldn't it apply to everybody? Mm.
Well, I hate to go about daily. That if I thought about it, which would give me intent that I would be violating the law. And I would imagine, when I worked for the federal government or any other government, and I bought gas, I'd routinely two green stamps on top of the dashboard of my wife. You know, I just think that gets to be a little ridiculous.
Well, there's certain types of crime there's certain type of crimes that you're perfectly willing to commit and not others.
It's just part of beating the system.
Well,
we've got the situation.
Theory anyway is selling something other than the quality of your product
or the price or whatever.
Well, what is the duty of fidelity? And you've got employees and
a lot of things are bad.
Lousy outfit.
Well, you can't. That doesn't mean they have. They don't owe you.
Pecuniary benefit. Suppose I tell a guy it's a lousy outfit, so you offer me a job.
You can't tell me that every insurance adjuster directs the repairs to be made at the lowest shop that does the good work at the lowest prices.
But have something to answer for if, because of a pecuniary benefit to himself, he goes to less than the best one for his money.
Yeah, except is the evil to the public so great as to justify making that another crime?
Well, if you and I are paying a penny extra on every gallon of gas we buy, and we buy 10,000 gallons a year.
Well, I'm thinking, for example, how many police in Multnomah County, city and county police, and how many prosecutors would be available to investigate and prosecute these crimes?
If you have everything criminal, it means the things that are really evil are paid less attention to, I believe. The President's Crime Commission said that there are lots of things that are bad, evil, immoral, and so on, but shouldn't necessarily be against the law.
Well, sure, but the Model Penal Code people, the American Law Institute, has said the same thing long before the President's Commission did. And they have a section on this. New York and Michigan both have similar sections.
Did you move to the late, Jim?
No, he likes it.
Somebody did.
These would be misdemeanors, undoubtedly, both of them.
I would move to delete Section 3 and Section 4.
Well, why don't you leave it?
You've heard the motion.
Let's go on 3. I haven't heard the 4.
Giving and
one giving, the other taking.
But with permission, we leave in the 708 provision for the press conference.
How about telegraph clerk? You don't want to mess with him. You're going to have a Western Union now.
Are you ready for the question?
I'd like to inquire, Don, did these sections come through the subcommittee with unanimous recommendation? I'm a little reluctant to throw something out that the subcommittee has worked hard on.
Well, it's a pretty unanimous outfit, that subcommittee.
Yeah, I think that.
Who's on this subcommittee?
This is subcommittee number one.
There are two members of it here now. The other two are.
Who's on that besides John Byrne?
Bob Taylor and myself.
Very high degree of legal sophistication, with one exception.
We've talked about some of these same questions we're talking about now.
And in our best judgment, we thought you thought about it by it this way.
How would it be if we made along with the exemption of the bank of public employees buying gas from public to get all green stamps?
Well, as I read it,
nobody else.
This what doesn't apply to the public anyway, does it? It applies to private industry.
Yeah.
We've got public employees coming out, right?
Oh, it doesn't apply also to public.
Yeah, and our minutes of June 13th.
1969.
Oh, yeah, we're way ahead of you,
folks. Mr. Chandler stated this sort of thing, kickbacks and rebates, is the most common form of commercial theft that goes on in our country. The defaulting bookkeeper with $100,000 is a rare bird, he said, while this other type of conduct is rampant.
And nobody else voiced opposition.
Did he say rare avis or rare bird?
Mr. Spaulding asked if the subcommittee thought they should try to legislate in that area. And then Mr. Chandler said, the problem we discovered was in most cases handled in the company. They simply warned their employees not to do it again or they would be fired. Mr. Wallingford agreed this was true in the insurance business, even in cases of embezzlement, they rarely will prosecute. Chairman Burns reminded the members of complaints about high taxes, stating that these practices add to those taxes and actually discriminate against people who are honest.
This is right out of the sales tax book.
Chairman, I agree with the minutes. I don't mean to pick anybody else from listening to me.
Are you ready for the question? Mm-hmm. Call the roll.
Judge Bruce?
This is a motion to delete.
Yeah, no. Move it down.
Clark?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
Aye.
You're not a law and order guy at all.
No.
Mr. Chairman?
I think we figure we got enough problems.
Sections 3 and 4 have been deleted, and a part of that motion was to retain in the code the bank and trust.
Let the bribers get in the same category with the legislators that you don't require any.
I prefer to say about it with the same classification as consenting adults.
Section 5.
Your moral outrage has absolutely no effect on me.
Section 5 has three definitions used in Section 6, 7, and 8, which are sports bribery and tampering with sport contests sections. Sports contest
means any professional or amateur sport or athletic game or contest viewed by the public. Sports official means any person who acts in sports contests, an umpire, referee, judge, or sports contest official. Sports participant means any person who directly or indirectly participates in sports contests as a player, contestant, team member, coach, manager, trainer, or any other person directly associated with a player, contestant, or team member.
Directly associated with a player, contestant, or team member.
The subcommittee spent a lot of time on that.
In what capacity?
His what?
Wife.
Originally it said directly or indirectly, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one example was given was an agent.
How about a partner in business of a player? He's directly associated with
it. Yeah, that wasn't intended to be included. We're talking about
someone
directly associated with him in connection with his sports activity.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't we say that, or is that implied here?
No.
Probably might be clearer to say directly associated player, contestant, or team member in a sports activity or language.
In connection with a sports activity.
How are these things handled now? We have an already law?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's law in this now.
I don't know if there's ever been any prosecutions or not. There aren't any reported cases on it.
We don't have any ORS is displaced by this on the sheet.
Yeah, look on page 15.
I keep going.
How about the horse?
Read the commentary.
The
guy who talks to the horse?
No. The real problem is what do you do with the horse if he takes the bride?
Trainer. Mm-hmm. Does trainer include the horse trainer?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well.
Also the guy who takes the
Well, I suppose the real question is horse racing sport?
Well, the horse participant is any
person. Is not confined to horse racing.
Professional or amateur sport or athletic game or contest. Contest.
Denny McLean or the kid who throws the basketball game for the point spread or.
No, I was just thinking of a horse race. I didn't want to make sure it was a contest.
I wanted to be interested in seeing whether the commission feels as strongly about primary sports in us business.
Don't you think that on sub 3 at the end with where it says directly associated with a player, contestant, or team member, we should say in connection with a sports activity?
Yeah, I do.
Somebody so moved.
Yep.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
What was that?
Opposed, no. Carried. On sub 3.
I'm shocked on how you're running this commission lately.
On sub 3. Where it says directly associated with a player, contestant, or team member, adding in connection with a sports activity. So it's clear that directly associated refers to association in connection with a sport.
Yeah, what we're really trying to protect in these four sections here are the people who bet illegally on sports contests. So make sure it's an honest sports contest that they're betting illegally on. We just voted that it's okay to cheat the employer. But now we want to see.
Mr. Johnson, are you satisfied now with Section 5 as amended? It's simply definitions.
I'm getting a little bit disgruntled by the remarks.
Mr. Chandler.
These personal attacks upon me, I regard as politically inspired.
But well done. He withdraws that observation.
No, I don't.
He doesn't. Somebody move the approval of 5 on the next editorial.
Chairman, what we're trying to get at really is gambling. We're doing it around the fence and the back door by going back into bribery, and I think this is something that.
No, we're not.
Well, there are two things we're trying to get at.
Why else would you try to bribe a player? It wasn't for other
people. Yeah, but you're trying to get at the effect on the player.
We're trying to.
And the public.
Both
of us. Probably who is not gambling.
You want to legislate his
role. Yeah, right.
A fair
I was up driving the coach of Beaverton High School last night.
They want to see the best team win. Whatever the highest paid team.
The only gambler that this is directed against is one who attempts to bribe somebody involved.
Well, like the other gamblers, I'm a fair shake.
For the purpose of what?
So the other gamblers have a fair share.
That's right. So we're going to get gambling. It's the only reason the world.
No,
no. Right.
That's
one of the
gambling.
People who want to watch the contest.
Perfectly all right.
The pecuniary effect will be on gamblers. But then the rest of the public gets to go and know that it's a square contract.
Well, I think this has no more force of logic than the last section we deleted. My comment for the day.
Well, you're very, very tenuous. Is there a motion
I move we approve section 5 as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I want to point out that... Why don't we hold section 5 only because it is definition?
That these sections now weren't intended to repeal these horse racing statutes. Subcommittee didn't intend that those come out. Just the sections in chapter 167 would be repealed.
That's what I was wondering.
Because those are statutes dealing with stimulating a racehorse and this sort of thing.
Well, these sections really are just an updating of present law.
That's right. Do you say yes or no?
Well, that's all we were doing.
Yes, right. This is just really a pretty much existing law.
Right, all in favor say aye.
No, it doesn't.
No, he wanted to hold the section.
Oh, you want to hold that? Good. All right. You don't want to forget it. Section 6.
Well, section 6 and 7. Section 6 is the bribe giving. Section 7, bribe receiving. Section 6, subsection 1, refers to bribe giving to a sport.
Why do you limit it to pecuniary?
Because they're like gambling.
Money? Honor.
You know, I wish, Mr. Chairman, you know, Mr. Johnson, during the next few minutes, would you mind reading a commentary on sections 3 and 4? So we can bring them up again. There's some pretty good stuff in there.
I asked a question relating to section 6. Portion of business and commercial fraud, and I want to know why, is limited to pecuniary benefit. Isn't the real interest we're trying to protect here is against these games being rigged? And that's
we're
the general public,
gamblers.
Not... What?
We're protecting gamblers. We're letting gamble illegally, so they have a...
protecting me and most other citizens who
want
to watch the game and figure it's not rigged.
I think that, as has been mentioned earlier, the distinction between benefit and pecuniary benefit comes in another section.
Well, pecuniary benefit includes the definition of benefit. Because pecuniary benefit means any benefit in these certain forms.
Well, this is why I was asking the question originally about the definition between benefit and pecuniary benefit. I don't quite understand why you even need a definition of pecuniary benefit. Certainly related to this section, it seems to me any kind of benefit they get.
What section do you believe?
Well,
are you hampering me?
You pat on the shoulder, I think.
You were just yelling at the referee or the umpire.
Throw a football.
That one
might cause some problems.
that would be
force the word you love behind a subject like this.
Well, I would literally strike the word benefit in subsection 1.
So that is
what we I mean the word pecuniary.
Roger and Don, I wish you would say something in response to this.
Well, as I understand it, he would combine subsection 1 and subsection 5. So the benefit means any gain advantage to beneficiary to a third person, etc., in the form of money, property, commercial interests, or gain.
That's been an easier approach.
I was trying to find, Mr. Chairman, what our discussion in the subcommittee was on that question.
Well, pecuniary benefit means any benefit in the form of money, property, commercial interest, or economic gain.
I was keeping my suitcase last night.
You got your suitcases.
There's a lot of decisions on damages defining the damn thing.
What about in Section 8, the team trainer who tapes up the ankles of the football players before they go out?
He tapes one crooked so he can't run so fast.
What do you do
with the referee that wears a does his job, send him out.
Sure.
But he's...
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, he's...
takes a brain?
He commits a crime of tampering with a sports contest. If with intent to influence its outcome, he tampers with any sports
contest. Oh, we went all through that, Frank.
We have to read the rest.
It's all in our minutes.
Because we required it's contrary to the rules and usages governing such contests.
If you made it benefit, it's okay.
Suppose you take the guy out and get him loaded the night before the game.
We discussed that too. It's all in there.
Yeah.
Well, as I read the definitions, the only difference is one of them specifies the benefit might run to the third person, whereas the sub 5 doesn't say that. Presumably the benefit means to the receiver.
No?
No.
Sub 5 is limited because it's still a benefit.
It's still a benefit, but it's a more monetary type benefit.
The whole thing is ludicrous here.
Yeah. You don't think that we should have a law with bribing sports participants?
Get it gambling, that's what you're after anyway.
We're not getting it.
We already got a law.
We got a broader interest here.
We already got a law. All we're doing is restating
the
principle.
We've got a complete article on
gambling. You've got the individual who doesn't have any economic interest in the game whatsoever.
What are you going to do with wrestling on TV?
What about wrestling?
How much are you question about it?
Well, so it's rigged.
I think it's rigged.
Somebody wins one night, somebody else wins the next night.
That's an occurrence That's
an understanding of the rules and customs of the sport. So
now we're going to write that in here too, aren't we?
But the losing athlete is doing his best in the manner in which he's supposed to give it, and that is to make him...
Can you picture the complainer did not give his best efforts by reason of double dribbling at 9:05 in the first period, thereby the whole thing.
The problems come from the last part of the last period.
I haven't bribed you back for a long time.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask the staff to take a look at it. But I don't quite, it just needs to be a question of grasping. I raised this question earlier, between subsection 1 and 5, section 1 over here in section 6. Why use pecuniary and why use benefit?
Your point is that in this situation, the benefit should not be limited to a pecuniary. Is that right?
Yeah, and then I really go to the question of whether subsection 5 is anything different from subsection 1 anyway.
Well, there is a difference. But pecuniary benefit includes the definition of benefit.
Yeah, so why didn't we just go on benefits? I kind of agree.
But benefit does not include the definition of pecuniary benefit.
It doesn't?
It doesn't. When you use only the term benefit, it doesn't have to be in the form of money.
It can be, but it can be.
But it can be.
Yeah.
It can be the promise of a job.
Promise
of a job for a relative.
All benefits are not pecuniary.
If we delete the word pecuniary here, is there any purpose then in retaining the definition of pecuniary benefit?
Well, I think it solves Mr. Johnson's problem if we just combined. And the definition of benefit means any gain or advantage to the beneficiary or to a third person. So the desire to consent of the beneficiary in the form of money, property, commercial interest, or economic gain.
Well, there are other benefits. Fairly heavily sports acting GORLs.
What?
GORLs. GORL is a GIRL.
Used in sports.
Well, why don't we vote on my motion, Mr. Chairman? And let's
is your motion to delete the word pecuniary?
Yeah, and then I think we can just decide later whether we need subsection 5 of section 1.
In both sub 1 and 2 of section 6.
You heard
the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No.
Motion has failed.
You're bitching about democracy, like there it is.
Chairman, I ask for a roll call.
Call the roll.
What, may I have the motion stated?
The motion is to strike the word pecuniary in both one, sub 1 and sub 2 of section 6. So that it will read, offers, confers, or agrees to confer any benefit upon a sports participant with intent to influence him not to give his best efforts, etc.
Well, does this broaden the scope of 6?
Yes.
Right now, it is, yes.
Yeah.
Assuming we leave the definitions in, it would include a non-pecuniary benefit.
Yeah.
Providing girls.
Chandler's going to write the guy better in his paper.
See, I'm kind of a law and order man.
He gets an all-star rating.
All right, let's call a roll on that last one. I think it was Ty.
Judge Burns.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Frost?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Spalding?
Uh-oh. No. I changed my vote.
Well, I changed mine.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Carry.
Spalding, I canceled each other out.
Now, I suppose you'd want to make the same motion with respect to Section 7.
Oh, I think you'd have to.
We'll give you some time.
Consistency is
the
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Same motion.
Same motion.
To strike the word pecuniary in sub 1 and 2 of section 7. Call roll.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Chandler?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Frost?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Spalding?
Aye, since we did it before.
Aye. Carry.
We'll be doing the same thing.
She voted no before.
What is the point of these basketball games?
I'm afraid I've been tampering with the sports contest. In Section 8, at least I did a lot of yelling at the ref on the
court. Well,
I move
now. Is there a motion to adopt 6 and 7 as amended?
I move we adopt 6, 7, and 8 as amended.
No. 8 hasn't been amended.
Yep. 6 and 7 as amended and 8.
Well, now, I should point out, Mr. Chairman, now Section 8 is in the draft, but as the commentary notes, it was not approved in the subcommittee. But we felt that the full commission should take a look at this section.
Would you confine that to 6 and 7?
Oh, I will, sir. We can tell which side I was on Section 8.
All those in favor of approving Section 6 and 7 as amended will say aye loudly.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Quiet. Carry. Now we come to Section 8. Would you give us a clear and cogent explanation of that?
Well, I'll read it.
That's good.
A person commits the crime of tampering with a sports contest if, with intent to influence its outcome, he tampers with any sports participant, sports official, or with any animal, equipment, or other thing involved in the operation of a sports contest, contrary to the rules and usages governing such contest.
Now, is yelling the referee
word
usages?
No.
Well, I take it this would not cover, however, the specific racing, drugs and racing thing.
Well, of course, this was not approved, and
well, if we approved it, what would happen to these given drugs to race the horses?
Well, I think if we approve 8, then we're going to have a definite effect on those two sections in 462, and I think that. We just have to take another look at them to see whether or not they should be repealed. My judgment would be at this time that they would be repealed by Section 8 if you...
I don't know what the racing officials think of that, because their penalties for tampering with horses are felonies. I don't think that this tampering with a sports contest would be a felony.
Well, what's the derivation of this? Michigan and New York,
model penal code.
I'm reading the discussion model penal code. What does tampering mean? Give us some examples of the things that it includes and the things that it does not.
Filing off a golf player's spike so he can't get a good grip on the I caused him to fall in the spanning at the 13 and lose the match.
Mr. Chairman, I move we strike the word and usage it.
Well, you realize what you'd be doing? Then you would be covering a situation where someone's yelling at a referee, and it's customary to do that.
Yeah,
there's no rule on it.
Well, suppose how about the football player gets himself hopped up? I'm not so certain you can have an argument over what usages are. That's the problem.
Well, if the football player props himself up, that's okay.
Usage just means custom, tradition.
Well, that's the problem. You get it. What is the custom?
You can't tamper with yourself. If you hop the guy up for the purpose,
whatever it may be,
that should be influenced by the sex article now.
Well, I could give some examples because I used to do a lot of boxing, and I was tampered with a number of times. You use a burning salve on your forehead or on your gloves to get in the other man's eye. Spiked water. Once someone tampered with my jock protector by putting a burning salve on the inside of it. It got very uncomfortable. It's about the second round.
Yeah, that's tampering.
That's tampering.
Well, the problem here is, I don't know what class of crime you're talking about, but you talk about doping the horse, you're talking about a pretty serious matter. Contrary to the usages, I don't know.
It's just some more of that administrative freedom that we gave yesterday to somebody.
I move the adoption number 8.
Well, I've already made a motion, goddammit.
Anybody want to make a motion on the table? Do you issue a roll call on your motion to strike the word and usages?
Mm-hmm. I think probably.
Call a roll.
Burns?
No.
No.
Chandler? Clark?
No.
Frost?
No.
Johnson?
You can delete the roll call.
That's what I was afraid of.
Let the record show that his motion was
complete the call. Nice. One embarrassed.
No.
Spalding?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
No. I vote aye. Motion has been defeated soundly.
Now you know how it feels.
Now a motion is to approve Section 8.
The minutes discussion indicate that no one in the subcommittee, was, including the staff, was in favor of Section 8.
Why did you write it up?
Well, like I say, we felt that it was an important decision that the full commission should pass on. Really, I mean, that's true.
I thought I was in favor.
No, I don't know. Well, you may have been the only one.
Just quiet.
Can I
have
another motion by moving to late section?
What? No. Tampers with a sports official.
Do the same thing by turning down.
Well, how about the guy that argues with him?
Usage.
It's all right, just as long as you don't tamper with him.
Usage.
That's traditional. Kill the umpire. That's traditional.
I'm going to throw in a coke bomb.
Motion has been made to amend Clark's motion. To read the Section 8 be deleted. Any discussion?
Question.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Call roll. Chair is in doubt.
Now this is a motion to amend.
This is a motion to delete.
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 No, this is a motion to amend the motion
that I made.
Yeah. So we're voting on the motion to amend right now, right?
No, we're voting on the motion to delete.
No.
Well, Mr. Chandler, Mr. Chandler, you
should have taken the first vote, and it would have done the same thing. It would have passed or failed.
Yeah, but now we're having an extra vote.
Frost withdraws his motion, and we are now voting on the motion to approve. Clark, call the roll.
If we vote no, we're against the section.
Yep.
That's the usual procedure, anyway.
Aye.
Excuse me, no, no. No.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Frost.
No.
Johnson.
Right to you, boy.
No.
Knight.
No.
Bolly.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
No. Motion has failed. Staff's wishes have been accommodated.
How will these things be covered now? Will they be covered, Don?
No.
Well, the horse racing.
Out.
Well, the horse racing, of course, is the big area, and the Chapter 462 would still cover that.
So it's against a lot of mess around with horse racing. You can do anything else you want.
With the equipment or something, so that you know, you take them up or something, you probably get some.
Yeah, let's put a section 9. That's worth all the rest of them.
Same as the guy that just got a hot saddle in his sleep.
That's okay.
You're getting it anyway.
That is, if he's getting anything for it, he's just interested in getting that Roger because he liked it.
Trainer takes up a handful of packs under the fullback's heel. It's okay now.
Well, if the fullback is done enough to play very much of the game, but Tash is probably not going to bother him a bit anyway. It's going to be hard to
answer, too. I think that is unlikely.
My mother read the golden rule for me one time, and I believed it.
You mean to say this guy?
I'm going too far!
Put some in yours. Section 9.
Defrauding secured creditors, and we were talking about secured creditors under the Uniform Commercial Code.
Chandler, would you keep it?
And the person commits the crime of defrauding secured creditors if he destroys, removes, conceals, encumbers, transfers, or otherwise deals with property subject to a security interest with intent to hinder enforcement of that interest. And a security interest means an interest in personal property or pictures as defined in the Uniform Commercial Code.
In other words, it excludes real property mortgages or anything about real property that's forgotten.
What does this do to the typical situation of taking you have a Chad mortgage on your car, a conditional sale, and you take it outside the state?
Those
contracts traditionally have a clause that you can't take it outside.
Well, a lot of them say you can't even take it outside the county.
Well, that's what the statute
says.
Outside the county, but on the contract they put it outside the state, so at least they are consenting to be taking it outside the county.
That's the
the
finance companies and the.
I remember I was down in Reno last summer and last spring, and I rented a car. And I said, now wait a minute, this thing says that it's a crime to take it outside the state. Well, what the heck, you drive around Lake Tahoe when you're outside the state? I didn't cross that provision now.
That's without the written consent of the mortgagor or the strike.
Does this really expand the law or does it maintain the law?
This expands existing Oregon law, but it does require an intent to hinder enforcement of the interest, so as long as you conform to the contract is making
the
payments.
Why should the
secured creditor get all this done?
Well, because he still has that.
He's already died. Why are you moving, Mr. Johnson, to eliminate the word secured?
No,
I'm moving to the wrong section. Correct, Mr. Johnson, motion to delete section 9.
Well, I'd like to. I think that there are some.
That's page 19. Oregon does have a procedure for providing for civil arrest in the same area. Morris.
Well, purpose of this is collection agent of the DA. That's how it's used.
Well, I'm enough.
The guy takes money for this and gets interest on his wrist.
So we still have this now under larceny by Bailey.
Yeah, but we would eliminate larceny by Bailey, wouldn't we?
Well,
not under this. No, this wasn't intended to replace larceny by Bailey because we already taken care of that under our theft rat.
What are we doing?
How did we
left it in there?
What did we say about it in their subcommittee? I just can't remember.
On this, this takes care of more of the situation where the guy's secured some stock or something and then he hit.
Well, the statutes that we're talking about are on page 19.
That's civil remedies, this anyway.
It's civil remedies, and it's up to the creditor to make sure the secure, I can't say what the problem is, unless we make it a crime in public enforce it, otherwise I've got to go hire a lawyer to enforce the point. Well, I would say that probably at least 95-98% of the time that there isn't any, the person is judgment proof, and so that the property is their only security, and when the person's taken the property, then they have nothing.
Well, so they're taking a risk. You need to take your risk.
36% a year.
I think that this, not having this type of a statute, of course, would tighten down the giving of the credit. Which I wouldn't say was wrong.
Mr. Johnson had moved we delete section 9, and the debate continues.
Well, I take it that if a fella took, again, had a car with a mortgage or a conditional sale on it, under this draft, if he took it out of state and thereby made it more difficult.
And in taking it out, you intended so to do.
Well, but if in some way he made it more difficult for the bank or finance company to secure a collection, that would be at least a jury question that he had the intent to hinder the enforcement of the security.
I would think so.
He puts his car in the garage, locks the garage door.
And I'm not really so sure that.
Here's the situation. I've got one going down there right now, but there was no written contract, you know, where title remained in the cellar type thing, so it doesn't come under that section of larceny by belief where a guy came into the store and represented himself. He was actually an employee of buying the stuff for himself or his girlfriend. Apparently he comes in, he gets a washer and a dryer and something else, and he was a parolee, so he's now back in the pen. Or at least in jail somewhere else, but the store owner can't find the washer and dryer to get them back. There was no written deal on it, so I'm not interested in it.
You know as well as I do, Frank, what's going to happen. I mean, this is the DA is in continual pressure. And these kind of things, and what you're going to try to do is make them an adjunct to the collection agency.
Well, the question is, as I see it, I don't really care whether the DA is overloaded with work or not. I don't think that's what we're considering. We think it's if a guy intends to defraud somebody and removes a thing,
we talk about it.
Get at it. Whether that's criminal conduct or whether it's just those things that everybody ought to be allowed to do if he can get away with it, he beats the system, so he's better off. We're better off.
This is
on the other side of it, Bob, it encourages businessmen to give credit to people who they know darn well are not responsible individuals.
This is the same type of deal as with checks. It's the person who takes the stuff, you know, the furniture that he's purchased or something, and moves out of state or this type of thing. is kind of the same position as the guy who writes the checks. It's a form of stealing. The person does have other remedies that he can sue for it, but we have to make a decision whether this is for the whole society. Is this something that should be a crime, or should we leave each individual up to his own remedy? When he takes a check, he takes it at his own risk, or in this case, when he sells something or takes some security, he does it at his own risk.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're anybody persuading anybody anymore. I'm off the question on the motion.
The motion is to delete. Call the roll.
Jedburn?
Aye. No.
Clark?
Aye.
Frost?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Spaulding?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Derek?
I guess you're going to do it.
And it's a similar statute, except that it applies to judgment creditors rather than secured creditors. A person commits a crime of defrauding a judgment creditor if he removes his property from a county with intent to prevent it being levied upon by execution, or secretes, assigns, conveys, or otherwise disposes of the property with intent to defraud a judgment creditor.
This is a little different than the other in that the creditor has already taken steps to reduce this to judgment.
This is sort of like the lawyer telling his client to get out of the county, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
interfering with the administration of justice.
Yeah, but there you go.
That's what that was. So it's
not a job.
If we can get the name stuff out of the county safely. Well, the other guy, John, sounds good.
The seller still has title to the stuff. What he sells is different. He's trying to protect himself that way by keeping
it. Happened many, many times.
To the car and
tell it.
The crazy thing about it is,
you've
got to know what's happened. Know
that
what's
other
happened,
one, I really think that it is analogous to that check situation. And that the businessman would be using the DA's office for a collection office. And not only that, they would grant credit far more liberally, and they wouldn't take the precautions that they should.
No.
This, I think, is a little different.
No, I think this is protecting the integrity of the system.
Oh, humbug. May I make a comment?
You have. You just did.
Telling Frank, what we're talking about here is a situation in order to make a prosecution where you know what's been secreted, how it's been secreted, the intent to defraud a judgment creditor. If that fact of the situation exists, you've got to find civil remedy. You know where this stuff is, you know you took it out, so you go in and take it back. I think it's ludicrous. We're legislating morality.
How about assigns or conveys?
You can still get to it. You can set aside the deed. You can, put the statute of Elizabeth, and that's the one where nine badges of fraud.
Yeah, but a guy buys a used car for $400 and sells it to somebody in California for $200. It's going to cost the guy more than the $400 to go get it and get it done with, and I think he's got a...
He's got a judgment. Let him wipe him up.
You voted to delete the other one, didn't you?
No, I
didn't.
You were with
those are his.
I was the only one who was
protecting his basket of eggs. They smell, but it's a nice basket.
I think this again is a situation where discussion isn't going to make any converts.
I move to delete section 10. Question.
Call the roll on deletion.